And now we present the next instalment of our weekly radio drama, The Vatican Centuries, looking back at the people and places that made up the history of the Vatican. The series was written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett. Today's episode 30 is entitled Reformation.
The long reign of the humanists was coming to an end. Fascination with the classical past had waned, and when the joyous carnival in the capital of Christendom was cut short by the sack of Rome, an epoch of decadence set in.
The 16th century went into its third decade with Charles V as Holy Roman Emperor. And in June 1520, a treaty was signed between Henry VIII and Francis I at a spectacular meeting at the Field of the Cloth of Gold. This celebrated diplomatic event produced no results, and the following year war blazed between France and Spain.
In Rome, the construction of the new St. Peter's was making heavy demands, and in 1516, Pope Leo extended the Peter indulgence into Germany. Dominican friar Tetzel was appointed to preach.
It was a match to a bonfire. In 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the castle church in Wittenberg. The Reformation was alight.
The gay Leonine Carnival came to an abrupt end in 1521, when Pope Leo was struck down by pneumonia. His successor, Adrian VI, the last non-Italian pope until our own day, only reigned a year. He was followed by Clement VII.
There had been a lull in the building work on the new St. Peter's. Clement, like Adrian, tried to keep costs down, but was worried by alarmist echoes coming from Germany as a result of the application of a bull issued in 1510 by Julius II, conceding special favours, in special circumstances, to those who made offerings for the rebuilding of St. Peter's.
Clement's time was an unhappy one for Rome. Even the atmosphere was heavy. On the morning of May the 6th, 1527, a thick fog followed the sunrise. Under cover of this, the imperial army of Charles V advanced to attack Rome. It was an army of desperate men, all unpaid mercenaries, thirsty for loot. As they stormed the Borgo, the Pope, dressed in full pontificals, was on his knees in St. Peter's, determined to meet the enemy with dignity.
But when the marauding armies swept through the frightened city, they met little resistance. They burst into the hospital of Santo Spirito and massacred the patients in their beds. The screams of the dying and the roar of the cannon could be heard on the steps of St. Peter's. The Pope was finally convinced to make his escape along the Passetto, the covered corridor leading to Castel Sant'Angelo. Had he stayed long enough to say three creeds, wrote an eyewitness, he would have been taken.
For 8 days, while the invading armies pillaged, burned, and slaughtered, the Pope was beleaguered in the castle, together with 13 cardinals and a group of 90 Swiss and 400 Italians. St. Peter's was overrun with the Bourbon army. They lounged on the altars, drank from precious chalices, stabled their horses in the sanctuary, and filled their litters with precious manuscripts. St. Peter's was desecrated. Shrines and tombs were rifled, and the veil of Veronica was dragged from tavern to tavern amid the ribald taunts of the soldiery. In the city, every kind of sacrilege and barbarity was perpetrated. The Saracens had been mild in comparison.
An enormous ransom was asked for the Pope. Benvenuto Cellini had sewn the jewels from the papal tiara into the Pope's robes, but these too had to go. Eventually, the Pope capitulated. A few months later, he left Rome disguised as a market gardener. Three years later, the unhappy pontiff was obliged to crown Charles V, the man who had humiliated him and left Rome in ruins, as Holy Roman Emperor. Clement died in 1534 and is buried in a magnificent porphyry urn taken from the Pantheon.
An eyewitness of the sack of Rome was the humanist Cardinal Sadoleto. In his sober comment on the event, he demonstrates the new spirit of reform in church and state.
if through our suffering a satisfaction is made to the wrath and justice of God, if these fearful punishments again open the way to better laws and morals, then is our misfortune perhaps not of the greatest. What belongs to God, he will take care of. Before us lies a life of reformation, which no violence can take from us. Let us so rule our deeds and thoughts as to seek in God only the true glory of the priesthood and our own true greatness and power.
The demand for reform was nothing new. The age was deeply religious. But no single man occupying the See of Peter at that time possessed the vision or the strength to reform the church from within.
When Martin Luther published his 95 Theses, he was nearing 34. He'd been an Augustinian friar for 12 years and had recently adopted a simplified theology based on his reading of St. Paul. It became known as justification by faith. For Luther, man depended on God's mercy and could not buy his way to heaven by giving alms or performing good works. The sale of indulgences enraged Luther, and he determined to expose the scandal, confident that the Pope would support him.
At first, Leo X paid little attention to the Wittenberg affair, believing it to be a monkish squabble, and merely told the head of the Austin friars to keep his men in order. But copies of Luther's theses had circulated rapidly, and popular support for him was growing. The Pope sent Cardinal Cajetan, general of the Dominican Order, to hear Luther. He ordered him to retract his theses. Luther refused. In a public confrontation with Dominican scholar John Eck, Luther denied papal supremacy.
There was now no turning back. Luther published pamphlet after pamphlet, moving further and further away from his original invitation to debate an abuse. In 1520, he published three manifestos, one of which attacked the sacramental system.
Rome could no longer ignore Martin Luther. On the 15th of June 1520, the Pope issued a bull, Exsurge Domine, condemning 41 of Luther's propositions as heretical, ordering the faithful to burn his books and giving Luther 2 months to recant or be excommunicated. Luther responded by burning the bull in public.
Finally, in 1521, Luther was called before the Emperor Charles V at the Diet of Worms. Asked once more to revoke his writings, Luther refused. He was outlawed on the spot. Given a safe conduct, he lived for 10 months in disguise in the castle of Wartburg.
Luther's doctrine was formulated officially in 1530 in the Confession of Augsburg. He compiled a catechism, wrote hymns, and by 1534 had finished his translation of the Bible into German. By the time he died in 1546, the principles of the Reformation were widely established.
You've been listening to episode 30 of The Vatican Centuries, written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett. You can hear the next episode at this same time next week.